Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. As I said last week, this is a show that we should normally, in the past, we've done this show, the last show in the month of February. That's because we came on the air the last week of February, and we have been on the air now 3 years and almost 2 weeks. Had you asked me back then, would we still be on the air at this time? I really don't know if I would have been able to say yes or no, because I didn't have an end game in sight. I didn't have any idea how the public would respond to the show in terms of tuning in and becoming engaged with me and the issues on the show. I had no idea. I literally didn't have an idea. And that really plays into what basically the theme of this whole show is going to be today. So why did I come on the air? Why did I develop the War Report? I'm going to tell you. I know I've talked about how I became aware of what was going on in terms of public education and was horrified and what have you. War Report came on the air because of fear. My fear. Once I got back engaged with public education, for those of you who may be new to the War Report, I was a teacher, a university professor, a researcher for most of my life. I sort of stepped away from it at the beginning of 2000, started developing my knowledge and skills, first with screenwriting, and then decided that I wanted to be a producer, then after that, a director. So I studied all that to become a filmmaker because I wanted to learn how to use my writings, my filmmaking skills to tackle big social issues that were concerned to me. And most of my social issues are a concern to humanity and our survival as humanity. And so I got away from education as my vehicle and turned to that endeavor. And it was while I was there that I got wind of and discovered that in my absence, education had fallen on even greater hard times. And in fact, as I looked into it, it was immediately, as far as I was concerned, it was a war. It was a war, and like all wars, the objective of those who were waging a war on public education was to destroy it. And that old saying, to the victor goes the spoils. And the spoils in this case would be their ability to unfettered access to the 1.2 to 1.3 $5 trillion that is spent on education from pre-K to PhD in this country annually, and the $7 trillion globally. When I re-engaged and started doing the research and looking at it, that was a primal fear for me. The fear was, I saw then, and I still see, the coming destruction of public education by what I call the new corporate state elite. That scared me, it hurt me, it frightened me, it almost demoralized me, that I couldn't believe it, I didn't want to believe it, but it was there. So it was for me coming to grips with my fear that led to the war report. Very simple. And there were several components of my fear. One was, as I just said, the coming destruction of public education by the elite, the why they were doing it, how they were doing it, and what their end game was. Also, I was afraid, I was fearful of the public. And in the public, I'm talking about the public, including teachers and parents and everyone else, not recognizing what was going on, not recognizing the intent of what was going on. Yeah, I think teachers and maybe some parents, and especially teachers, were beginning to say, what's happening here? I'm having to do X now instead of what I've been doing and what I believe I should be doing. I'm getting all these mandates. I'm getting bombarded with all the testing that's coming about, the pressure to teach to the test. Everything's scripted. Administration looking for reasons and ways to downgrade me as a quality teacher to being unsatisfactory as a teacher and need improvement and all these things. Yeah, you guys recognize that, but I didn't see any of the teachers, and more specifically, the teachers' union, locally, statewide, nationally, sounding the alarm that the enemy is coming, the enemy is here, and the enemy are those who want to destroy public education, public schools, school teachers, the unions, and they, by any and all means necessary and available, and if that means destroying the kids, the families, the communities, so be it. That fear probably was my greatest fear, because public has been apathetic on social issues, going back to social issues. And without the public being aware, without the public being understanding, without the public being engaged, there would be nothing to stop the final destruction. Another fear that I had was, we've picked up some additional audiences, well, that's a bad phrase, additional people listening live to the show in the last 4, 5, 6 months. So maybe you don't know all the stuff that we've talked about here on public education. But for those of you who don't know, I'm a lone wolf type person. I do my thing to the best of my ability. I do it if I have to do it alone. I work alone. And that became a fear for me, that me, the individual, could not, would not be able to save public education. and that I would have to join the public, or the public would have to join me in order to have a shot at saving public education. And my fear was that, one, I couldn't do it by myself, and thus, you know, I trust me, and I've always trusted me, and if I couldn't do it, then I didn't know whether or not we even had a chance if we even joined together. I know that may sound egotistical as hell, but I'm just telling you who I am. And so my next thing fear was, could I awaken the public? Could I somehow get to the public, first in small numbers and then greater numbers and greater numbers, so that the public, once awakened, once they understood, then, and they became emotionally engaged once they understood what was at stake, that yes, the public could become the movement that would become the engine that would challenge the new corporate state elite and take them on and defeat them. Thus, that's why I started the War Report a little over 3 years, almost 2 weeks ago. And that's why War Report is still on the air, and each year at the end of our, I won't say calendar year, call it a show year, I've always tried to do an assessment. Try to do an assessment of the war, as I said earlier, the War Report, and me. And this year, I tried to invite the public to weigh in on the assessment process of what, how they assess where we are in the war, how they assess the War Report, and yes, how they assess me. Oh, I want to send out this message right here, right now, to Team War, or the War Team. Last night I lost my connection to the internet, and I have not been able to communicate with you ladies. And if you've been trying to communicate with me and I haven't responded, it's because I have access to the internet, but for some reason I don't and can't get access to Google or to any other network. And so I'm in the blind. I apologize for not getting back to you if you try to get to me. And so, you, the public, you hopefully you know our call-in number, and you can still call in at any time and give me your assessment. Okay. The war. Where are we in the war? I think, as I've said for the last few years, we're still losing ground in the war. Translation, we're still losing the war. Nothing happened this past 12 months, the War Report 12 months, February to February, that indicates to me that we at least were able to stand our ground as opposed to gaining ground or losing ground. Some of the things that have happened, and of course you already know this, is that the new ESEA, or Student Achieve, was not, I said this before it was passed. I said this while it was being debated in the Congress and the Senate, that it would be a disaster replacing another disaster, which replaced another disaster from No Child Left Behind to Race to the Top to now Student Achieve. And I warned that those who were so giddy in supporting the new ESEA, main feature being the responsibility of over education, would come back to the state, taking that power from the federal government to and putting it back in the state. And I was saying, folks, remember when public education started and all the years thereafter, when it was a state, when it was a community or a city responsibility, all the inequities that were built into the system and maintained over 100 and some odd years. Be careful what you wish for. That phrase, you're going to get it. And this past so many months, people on Facebook and other social media outlets are beginning to say what I said previously, that now that the state is back in control, look at what they're doing. The voucher mania, whether or not they're going to do the same style standardized testing or worse, and attack on teachers and students. To me, that passing of, I mean, there was no alternative, no good alternative, and that was not by accident. Lamar Alexander and company and all the people who supported him, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was seeking to implement what he had sought to implement when he was Secretary of Education, all of his time in the Senate, when he was a governor. You name the time period, he has been of one agenda. And he was able to get it through this time around. And to me, we lost ground. I know it may be hard to imagine losing ground in comparison to Race to the Top, as bad as it was, or No Child Left Behind. But in my view, we lost some serious ground there. I know many of you first would probably say the Trump and now DeVos team is a true indication of how much we've lost and will lose with that tandem in play and lording over public education. That's a no-brainer. I could have cited that one as first, but I mean, I think any of us and all of us in education, well, let me step back. Not any of us, all of us, because there were 60-some-odd million people who supposedly voted for Trump. And of that 60-some-odd million, there was a whole lot of women who voted for Trump.
Deborah, line one.
Public education, public school teachers are predominantly women, and there has to be a large segment, I don't say large, but a meaningful segment of the teaching force, men and women, who voted for Trump. So I'll stand by that. I understand we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
I am so good. I just wanted to congratulate you on 3 years on being on BBS Radio.
Well, thank you. Can you stick around?
I can.
Yes, please do, because I'm going to talk about you towards the end of the show. Okay. That's good.
Oh, okay.
Smile on my face.
Will do.
Okay. Now, another thing that I think contributed to me thinking that we lost ground was the breakup of the original United Opt Out. I know some people will maybe get pissed because I'm using the word the breakup. I think that was a loss, folks, a big loss. Whatever was going on internally, that's, you know, we're not privileged to any or all of that, but what that organization was able to achieve externally in terms of making people aware of standardized testing, its harm, and getting people aroused up over it, and getting people across the country to organize United Opt Out efforts locally, statewide, regionally, was critical to us even having a shot at, quote, I love this, standing our ground. And so we could get in a position of being able to fight back. I think that was a big loss, folks. So I don't know all of the internal mechanism that led to it, but I'll stand by it. It was a big loss. Another area, and this is the one that hurts me or frightens me the most, and that is, again, this past year, the failure to unite in solidarity. We've got groups of different sizes, different, you name it, all across the country. And as individual groups, none of them have any real power to influence local, state, national issues pertaining to public education. Not one group that I can think of have the numbers, have the passion, the skills, and the bulldog tenacity to take on local school boards, take on states, take on the feds, and the Congress, and the Senate, the White House, because we are just too disunited to be able to be effective. And I have preached that issue, my position, for 3 years. That if we got 3.5%, 4%, 5% of the parents, the teachers, community members in any locale, state, and nationally, we're talking millions, 8, 9, 10, 11 million people that could take on the issue of protecting, saving public education and be a force. I mean one hell of a force. We have not been able to come together. One of the things that I like about here in New York, the state, there's a group that says they have over 100,000 members, which is not bad for a state, who are active, and they make their numbers and their passion and their desires known regularly at the state level, at the city level. Now, have they achieved the things that they want to? I don't have enough history here in New York, but I'm impressed by them, and I'm saying you guys can do even more here in New York. But you can also be the example for the rest of the country in terms of bringing other groups. It's a coalition that I should mention that, of groups. And they work as a coalition. So nationally and on a regional basis, we have failed. To me, every year that we fail to do that, we're losing ground because the other side is gaining ground. Okay, the war report. I think I've underachieved. Well, I'm saying right now I'm speaking about the war report, the radio show, and of course it's hard to separate those two, me and the show itself, but just down the show, as I mentioned at the very beginning, I think when I sit down and try and be as objective as I possibly can, be that third-person objective mindset, on the one hand, the war report has done, as I was reminded last night when I still had access to the internet networks and what have you, that I got an email that said, the war report has achieved its mission. And the mission, as this person saw it, was to make the public, be it the smallest segment or a larger segment, aware that it's a war. Make the public aware why it's a war, which is the most important thing. Make the public understand why it's a war, who's waging the war, what their end game is all about. I think I've done that, or the show has done that, over the three-year period. I think that when I was traveling, you know, I was going to conferences in 2015 and 2016, and even a little short time here in 2017, people would come up to me and thank me for having put the war report on air so the public could become aware of that it's a war. You know, people who never called in, people who, as far as I know, have never commented on Facebook, but they would recognize my name, or someone would tell them that who I am and connect me with the war report. This happened everywhere I went when I was on the road, and it happened here in Buffalo. So I have to think that, to some extent at least, War Report is doing something good. War Report is consistent in its message. War Report is getting through little bit by little bit to the public in terms of making them aware, understand, and hopefully becoming emotionally engaged. And as I have always said, those three hopefully will set the stage for individual or collective positive social action. So I'm only hesitating in that I don't want to come off with big-time hubris as relates to the show that I created. But I think it has done some good things. Hasn't done all the things that I wanted to have accomplished. If I had a timetable in terms of I was going to be on the air for 3 years, 5 years, what have you. But it has done some good things. Now, I'm sure there are those who would say I've done, or the show has done, some not so good things, the good, the bad, the ugly kinds of things. And I've had some people, matter, I won't say some, I had a few over the last 3 years who would say the show was propaganda, liberal, progressive, bullshit, and they weren't going to listen. I've had one person I'm thinking of who would constantly trying to accuse me of being either a troll for the liberal. You know what I'm talking about in terms of those individuals who their intent is to vilify. Yes, I've had a few of those, but there's really been just a few. I can only think of less than four said individuals who at least came out and made their feelings known. Maybe others out there who think the show has not done well, who, you know, part of the bad and the ugly. I'm not aware of it. If I were, I would say it. I think you know me well enough to know that I would say it. I would not be dishonest and try and say that, you know, the show is the cat's meow. If you want to call in and register your assessment, please do. With the time that I have left, that's, you know, I covered the war report. I didn't go into any great depth in terms of any criticism or praise for either those two, because I think you know, especially about the war, you know my position on the war. I've been rather consistent saying that we're losing. We're losing a war that we should have never been engaged in. But once we became engaged, it's a war that I really believe we could have nipped in the bud back in 2000, 2001, 2002, 3, 4. I truly, honestly believe there is no reason we should be where we are 2017 in the losing position in a war that we didn't start, and a war that we could have and should have won and or should have prevented from developing into a full-fledged war. Now, there are some ladies that I tell them they are the war report. That's a statement that is from the depths of my heart, my soul, and my truth. I tell them whenever I can that they are the war report. I just carry the water for them. That without them, War Report probably would not have been on for 3 years. Now, each year when I've done this evaluation assessment show, I've named the women, the people who helped make the War Report what it is, both on the radio show side as well as the Facebook side. Some of the names you know, and you know from their own activism on social media. But I'm keeping with my tradition, and I'm going to identify and talk about the ladies. You've heard me, and one of the ladies is on the line right now with us, Deborah. Deborah and I got started back in, and Deborah, I hope you remember, it was December 2014, wasn't it, that I was calling around the country, talking to radio shows about the show that I had in mind, et cetera. And when I called BBS Radio, you were working there, and part of your job was to recruit for the station. I left a message. You called me back on a Sunday, and before that conversation was over, I knew that I was going to do a radio show, and I was going to do it on BBS. You remember that, Deborah?
Yes, I do.
And you really, really was the one who made the war report visible. You made the war report what it needed to be in order to get off to the right start and to grow an audience. You, I'm going to say you single-handedly, because I did not have a clue, did not have the skills, didn't have any of the things that I needed to have in order to have a shot at making the war report a show that people would want to come and listen to, especially on a Sunday and radio. I mean, who listened to radio? That was my attitude. Who listens to radio today, and especially on a Sunday dinner hour on the East Coast and football season, the whole nine yards? So Deborah was the first who made the war report what it is today. And I'm going to say, there's another woman who, I guess maybe we came on in February. You put the war report and me on social media in May, I think, 2015. And the next person that I'm going to identify started listening to the show once we went on air, once Facebook was utilized and Twitter and all those things that you set me up on, Joan Kramer. Joan came on, as I said, May, June of 2015, I think, and she became an ardent supporter. She listened to all the shows. I'm only hesitating because there's some things that I want to say when I start giving my full tribute to all of them. But Joan became what I dubbed her my rock. She was always there. She was always in my corner when I needed some pick me up or I needed somebody to have my back. She was there. The next lady, you know her as Joe Lee. Joe came on, I'm going to say, 2 years ago. And when Joe came on, and I wish she was on the air, but Joe has, I think he has called in maybe 2-3 times in almost 3 years. But I'm laughing here because when Joe came on, she said she was reluctant. And then she said, telling you now, don't count on me, because I may leave you in 3 months or whatever, what have you. Don't count on me. Joe, as she and I have been together on the war report longer than any other team that was part of war report. And for a person who told me not to count on her, she too has become my rock. She too is a person that if she wasn't still with me on the war report, honestly, I am not sure there would be a war report today. that is how crucial she has become to the War Report. And, of course, to me. And so when in our promotion, the ladies who are the War Report, these are the three ladies I'm talking about. There have been others, but they came, they stayed a short while, then they left, or they came and never got involved. But these three, they stayed. And my tribute and also dedication is from three songs that I really listen to every once in a while. And these three songs, they say it individually and collectively, what I feel about the ladies. And the three songs you may know, one is She Believes in Me, and I love the version done by Kenny Rogers and Lionel Richie.
Thank you.
Stop laughing, Deborah.
Thank you. I remember our conversation.
Yeah. And the other song by the same duo is Lady. I'm waiting for you to laugh, Deborah.
I remember that,
and then
too.
The third song is from another duo, two brothers, David and Jimmy Ruffin. You got to go back to the 60s and 70s, folks. Remember, I'm an old guy. Mm-hmm. And their song, Stand By Me. Mm. The lyrics, the message, the feelings, the emotion that individually and collectively those three songs convey are the most apropos for what I feel and what I want to convey about the ladies. And so I would sing if I had a voice, but I don't. I can't even sing in the shower, okay? So you can see where I'm coming from. And also, I have to be honest with you. The three ladies, they knew this, the assessment show was coming on. So they got together, and they told me, you better knock this assessment out of the park as relates to your tribute and dedication to us. We know where you live. We want you to know. You remember last week, the women's strike? It could come to you in a War Report. You remember the week before that? The women's march? The millions across the country? That was us. So, I really don't have any choice but to praise these ladies, because if I don't, you just heard what they told me. You know I'm having fun. You know I'm lying. But I had to get that in. All right. Ladies, you are my knight in shiny armor, and I adore you, each and every one of you. Without you, I'm nothing. The War Report would be nothing. Ladies, you make me whole, and we belong together. For without you, there would be no me, no War Report. Ladies, we belong together. Ladies, you believe in me, although I never see what you see in me, you believe in me. And that makes all the difference in the world. When no one else does, you do. And it's with that knowledge that makes it possible for me to be here every Sunday, to do the work I have to do during the week, to bring the show to the public, and to bring the best show that I can. Best meaning the message, the importance, hitting on either the awareness factor, the understanding factor, the emotional engagement factor, and the call to action factor. That's because you believe in me and you make me better. Without you, there would be no me, no war report. And ladies, as important as all the things that I just said, what really, really brings it all home for me is that you stand by me. Whenever I'm in trouble, all I have to do is look over my shoulder, or look to my right, look to my left, and you are there. You stand by me. Again, without you, there's no me, there's no war report. Because you believe in me, because you stand by me, and because you are my knights in shiny armor. Whenever I'm in trouble, you're always there, standing by me. Whenever I need help, one or all of you always are there to help. Joe? Hello, Joe.
Yeah, I'm online.
Folks?
Hi, James. You have me in tears here.
I'm only telling the truth. I am only
well, you know what? We do believe in you, but you know what? We believe in you because you believe in the world, and you believe in the very best that our world can be. And you're the real thing, James. You're the real thing, and we love you.
Yeah.
So you can bring tears to my eyes, too. I'm going to tell you, folks, I'll give you a couple recent examples. Now, Deborah, she left BBS and started doing some other things, but she said to me, I'm leaving BBS, but I'm not leaving you in a war report. This was almost 3 years ago, and she continued to be there for me. And then when she got really, really busy and had to devote more time to what she was doing, she said to me, basically, you can always call and depend on me. And over the last couple of years, I have picked up the phone, sent an email, what have you, and boom. She, whatever she's doing, she has always made time to help me with whatever it is I needed. And we just did this the last couple of days ago. We were having some problems with the archives, the show, what have you. I called her, or I sent her some information, and she spent 2 days dealing with it.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about in terms of being there, standing by me, and believing in me. Joe, there's so many examples that I can give, but I'll give the most recent one. I needed some, I don't type. Again, people who've been on the show for a long time, you know that I don't type. And Joe, when I met her, she said to me, she said, I am an editor. I'm an English teacher. I'm an editor. I live to edit. And so whenever I need something typed, edited and typed and what have you, I call Joe or I send her a message. And a couple of months ago, I needed something done. It was a big job, and I didn't quite know how to ask her to do it, and so I was sort of like beating around the bush, and she said to me, in Messenger, said to me, what is it you need done, and when do you need it by? Mm-hmm. Cut the rest of the stuff. Tell me. And then when I told her, and the short time frame, she said to me, in the only Joe fashion, I live for pressure. I'll get it done. And she did. And she did. Joan is that person, too, like the rest of you, who she'll say to me, you know, what do you need? Just tell me what you need. And she's on it. And there are times, ladies, each of you and all of you have brought tears to my eyes, too, in terms of the things that I've said. You know, the most important thing, of course, is you believed in me, Deborah, and Joan, to come involved with the show. You believed in me enough to stand by me over the 3 years we've been doing this. And you have been ladies. You have been ladies in the shiny armor. Okay. Oh, and by the way, I'm not talking about Joan of Arc. We know what happened to her as a knight, okay? I'm not talking about her.
May still happen to us, James.
I just want you guys to know that, and the public know that. These are the real deals in terms of the knights. Their integrity, their ethics, who they are, they too care immensely about the world, about public education, and about students, incredibly about the students. And they hang in here with me and the War Report because they share collectively and individually their passion, their courage as relates to trying to save public education and trying to make the world better. So, ladies, that's a very short version of my tribute. As I said before, I spent 2 weeks going through those songs and picking out the verses that I wanted and the examples that mm-hmm. you guys represented for that particular verse. And last night I lost access to the networks, Google, all what have you. So I have to go from memory. I hope you got my sincerity, my passion for you, and I truly mean it when I say I don't know if I would be still doing this if it wasn't for each of you individually and collectively. And I can say that I'm
going
forward.
And I want you to know, it's an honor for us to be doing this with you, James.
Well, I think I said to you once before, Joe, as long as you and I and the rest of the team together, I will try and keep us on the air. And I will say one other thing very quickly. I don't even know how to say this real quick, quickly, but there's going to be another sort of edition of War Report. It won't be called the War Report, but we're going to television mm-hmm. here in Buffalo on local access and hopefully on a YouTube channel and sometime over the next couple of months. And we will be fighting the war from television and from local television, Time Warner, I think it is, and also YouTube. It won't be called a War Report. Right now, folks, I'm leaning towards the TED Talk that I gave, the title of which was Privatize Me, Not. And the message here is, if once you become aware and understand and emotionally engage in the global effort to privatize everyone and everything, all of humanity and the planet, you too will join me in saying, privatize me not. It's me taking the war to a bigger stage against privatization of everything and everyone, all of humanity and the planet. That has been the theme, the thrust, the message, the motivation of the war report from when I first wrote down, I'm going to do a radio show and this is what it's going to be about, is my fear, my anger over the privatization of public schools. The public school is just a segment of what the new corporate state elite wants to do. Their end game is the privatization. And when I say privatization, it means ownership and control of everyone, all facets of our lives, the planet. I'm out of time. Ladies, my knights, thank you very much for calling and staying on the show and for being there for me all this time. And hopefully you'll be there for me for the rest of the future. Good evening, everyone. Have a good rest of your Sunday, and see you next week.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.